The Undercover Capes Podcast Network proudly presents a series all about the amazing people behind the titles and characters we love. Welcome to Creator Spotlight.
Coming to you from Capes HQ, this is Outside the Panels. I am Dodgy in the mix. And with me is the author of the Modern Testament Volume 4. He's not a pastor, he's not a minister, he sure as heck ain't no preacher. This is Reverend Frank Martin. Welcome, Frank.
Hello, how are you doing, Dodgy?
I'm very good, thank you. apologies for the intro, but I thought I'd do something funny just to kick it off.
It was flashy.
Thank you, brother. All right, so let's just start from the beginning. When or how did you get into comics?
So I got into comics, I would say, or reading them. I've been reading them forever. Mm-hmm. And I always enjoyed writing, and I enjoyed writing stories. And, of course, I enjoyed writing fanfic. That's how everybody starts off. And when I tried to make a go of it as a prose writer, I said, you know what? I like reading comics. Let me try writing them, too. So I wrote my first short about 10 years ago or so, and it sat mm-hmm. on my computer. And then one day, recently, a couple years ago, I decided to get it fleshed out and produce it, and that's what was the birth of the series Modern Testament.
Oh, really? So Modern Testament was your very first, like, official comic?
Yes, official comic. I mean, I've had a couple shorts produced, but as far as a running series, Modern Testament is my first.
Oh, nice. So who inspired you? You mentioned before you actually read comics, but which creators, either writer or artist, that inspired you most?
Well, growing up and reading comics in the early 2000s, Mark Millar was a big part of Marvel at that point, mm-hmm. and he was doing Civil War, and that's when he had the Old Man Logan run, and he was pretty versatile in Marvel comics and his own creator and stuff, so he was a big inspiration as far as what I can put out there and what I was capable of, or hope to at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's someone who's very obscure. He's hard to read, but a phenomenal writer nonetheless. So, you know, you talk about Mark Millar. What genres, you know, did you most read?
I would say growing up, I stuck with the big two, reading a lot of the superhero stuff. But recently, I've branched out to more of the more independent books, more books outside the big two. Mm-hmm. And the big theme now seems to be a lot of science fiction-esque. As far as stuff like Lazarus and mm-hmm. East to West, what Image is putting out. So I think that that's been a big theme as far as what I've been interested in, what I've been sticking around is kind of grounded sci-fi, I would call it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And in terms of your own writing style, is there any particular writer that you or creator that you've sort of emulated in your work?
I would say recently I've been kind of working towards Neil Gaiman mm-hmm. and his work, because I write prose and I write comics just like him, and I have found not a lot of people do it, so, and he does it well, and he's been successful on both sides of that coin, so it's mm-hmm. somebody that I've tried to emulate and somebody that I tried to model as far as that kind of career path.
Yeah, and he's got a very successful one too. So just tell us about the volumes 1-3 of Modern Testament, and, you know, just let fans know what they're missing out on in terms of, you know, your prized possession, you know, i.e. your work.
So what Modern Testament tries to do is it's an anthology series. Mm-hmm. So each volume has a series of shorts, three short stories. And the goal with the series was to take biblical beings like angels, demons, that kind of supernatural urban fantasy aspect of it. And rather than come up with some big or overarching plot, I try to isolate those characters and placing them in today's world. So every story is standalone. Every story focuses on a different character. Like one story focuses on a golem. Another story focuses on jinn, genie. Mm-hmm. So you can pick up any volume, open up and start reading any story because they're all standalone. And I think that that's been a big help with the series, so that if people see that volume 3 is out, they don't have to pick up 1 and 2. They could just get 3 and just check it out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you did mention that to me when you introduced Volume 4, was the fact that you didn't have to read the back issues. So just let me ask you, because I've asked my other American buddies this question. Anthologies, why would you want to write an anthology series? I guess the question I'm asking is because anthologies aren't that popular in America. They do very well, I guess, with the exemption of, you know, Heavy Metal Magazine, but it's very successful in the UK. Do you see that trend in America, or, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very you know, it's a very good move you're making. Like, don't get me wrong, I love anthology books, but they don't seem to be popular. You know, Dark Horse Presents got cancelled 2 months back, and what are your thoughts about anthology books? And, you know, that's, I guess that's my point.
There's not a whole lot of anthologies out. I mean, you see them a lot of times. A lot of popular publishers put them out as far as like annuals or one-shots, kind of one-off deals where they could take advantage of putting out a lot of stories for a special occasion and throwing in a lot of different creative teams in one thing. But it's not really a reoccurring theme. Mm-hmm. As for me, it was, I did it for two reasons. Number one, it was kind of a practical decision in that I had a short story that I needed to take advantage of and I needed to do something with it. So it was like, all right, I already got one short story. Let's just keep making more and then fill out a whole book. So I needed some way to put this short that I wrote into a cohesive series. So I was kind of forced into it at that point. But when I was making the decision to go with anthologies, I was like, not everybody does them. As you say, yeah, you don't see them a whole lot. So I kind of wanted to take advantage of that fact and do something a little different and maybe catch somebody's eye that would have never looked at an anthology and said, you know what, maybe I'll give this a shot because it's something you don't see every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree because, you know, I was surprised because I started reading and then I was like, oh, it ended already. And, you know, and then you move on to the next story and then you're like, ah, you know, it almost feels like you're reading, you know, the 32-page comic. It ends suddenly and you're like, oh man, I have to wait next month to get it. But no, you've got another story, you know, just trailing it, which I really enjoy. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I'm just really, really cut that, you know, Dark Horse Presents got cancelled and it was due to poor sales. So, you know,
I mean, I think it's a good format. It's not like a format that's ever really going to die because it's a good way to take advantage of little short pops here and there. So, I mean, they'll come back around. There are trends in all forms of art and all forms of media. So I wouldn't rule out the anthology format just yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the Modern Testament Volume 4. Give me 1 second. So you've got the cover by Jonathan Rector, interior art by Nicholas Torres, and letters by Kel Nutrall. Apologies for the butchering of the surname. What was it like working with these creators?
Well, Nicholas did the did a pinup, but all the stories have a different creative team. Mm-hmm. Kel did the letters, obviously, for all, yes, all three stories. But with every story in it, I have a different colorist, different line artist. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that was to give each character their own feel. So I didn't want to try to get the same type of art team throughout the whole entire book because I wanted to give each story its own unique feel, its own unique flavor, so that when people flip the page onto a new story, they're kind of put into a whole different world rather than getting a carbon copy kind of art style.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, so I'll start off with Better the Devil You Know. Art by San Espina with colors by Adri Pratama. You know, and this was a very deep book, a very deep story, and I really liked it because you sort of walk down the street and you might see a family like this. So tell us about the process of, you know, creating this sort of story.
So this story focuses on the devil character. Mm-hmm. And my goal in doing this was the overall premise of the story is the deal with the devil. We see that kind of trope in forms of TV and movies. It's kind of a premise or a plot device, I would say, mm-hmm. for a whole bunch of stories that feature the devil. And my goal into doing this was to put my own spin on it, my own twist on it, mm-hmm. and to do something familiar while at the same time doing something original that people said, whoa, I understand where it was going with it, but I was still entertained by how it played out.
Yeah, and I really do appreciate the stature of the devil. And, you know, although he might be smaller than what you'd imagine, but his aura is just out there, and I really enjoyed that, and I thought that was a great twist. And the art, I have to commend the art. The art is tremendous and gritty and dark.
You know? Yeah, so the thing I like about this book too is that each story and each art feel, they're so wildly different that when mm-hmm. I'm getting feedback, I'm getting such different feedback, because some people like this story the best as far as the art's concerned, and other people like a different story the best. So I like that, the fact that people take to different stories and they each take a different thing and they each like a different story, and there's not one that overpowers any of the others in terms of quality and fanfare.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But then when you move on to the second story, which is God Complex, with art by Martin Szymanski, with colors by Miguel Marquez. Totally different approach. It's almost you go from night till day with the art layout, and I really appreciate that too. That was tremendous, excellent art. But I just love the cleanness of it, and you know, and what the, you know, I can almost picture exactly what you wanted to do with this, make it completely the opposite. But yeah, tell us a bit about this story, because this was a very unique story, I must say.
So this story features is God, mm-hmm. obviously God Complex. That's the biblical being that I wanted to focus on for this story, and I wanted to clash God and science a bit here mm-hmm. and take a little
controversial
subject matter, but mm-hmm. I didn't want to shy away from it. And that's the overall plot of the story, is that scientists go and they want to announce a discovery, and God has other plans, and they end up not seeing eye to eye, without giving too much away.
Yeah, absolutely, and God sort of demonstrates his power in this, which I really liked. I mean, I'm not a religious person by any means, but I did appreciate what the story was trying to tell, and you know, like, let's just let bygones be bygones and get along. But the thing I did like is the fact that, you know, your God has that Lex Luthor approach, you know.
You've actually been the second person to make the God Lex Luthor comparison in this story. And that was not my intention at all. Maybe it was subconscious, but
yeah, no, it's good.
That you said that.
Yeah, no, it's good, because he has that, you know, like, he knows his responsibilities, but he's almost to a stage of his life now, like, let me just kick back and let me show my true might, you know? He's had enough, you know? He's decided that he wants to, you know, tinker around with things a little bit. And that's sort of the Lex Luthor approach, you know? You know he's a multi-gazillionaire, and, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He's powerful. He's got money. And I did like this approach to your character of God, and I just think it was a nice twist. I really found it a lot of fun. I was like, oh, okay, this is getting weird, but good weird, if you know what I mean. You've actually taken fans for a ride, and we appreciate that. So thank you. That was awesome.
As opposed to the devil story, I mean, they're both fantasy. They're both supernatural stories. But as you said, they're kind of night and day a little bit. The devil, whether or not it makes sense, is a more grounded story, a little bit more gritty. And this has a more of a surreal feel to it, I would say. Fantastical feel.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, so we move on to the third story, which is, you know, and you tricked us a little bit here. You could have made this a full story, but no, you had to put a gap in between. I'll forgive you for that. It's The Devil You Don't. So this is a continuum from the very first story, again with the same art team of Espina and Patrama. So Jack, who's the main guy, who's a bit of a douchebag, digs himself a deeper hole because of what he does in the previous story. I really like this. I really liked how you did it, because of the fact that we didn't have to see the in-betweens. We saw what happened beforehand, and what we see afterwards. So, you know, I just think this was a fantastic conclusion to this story. And, you know, and what inspired it? What, you know, what, why did you write this story, frankly?
So there's a line in the story where the devil says that people always, he's used as a scapegoat a lot of the times, where people mm-hmm. always say that the devil is the problem, or the devil maybe do it, or mm-hmm. or this or that. And I kind of wanted to, main theme of this story is kind of responsibility, is that
yeah.
is that people use the, take this icon of evil, the devil, and they kind of put everything on him. And at the end of the day, we're really responsible for our own actions. And the devil's just being the devil, but you have to be you, and you have to take responsibility for your own actions. And that was the driving force and the driving theme behind plotting out this story and the characters.
Yeah, and that's so true, because, you know, everyone who commits a sin almost blames it on, you know, on the devil. But the reality is everyone has a conscience. You make either the right choice or the wrong choice. And yeah, it's so true. And that's the thing I liked about the story is, you know, the devil just had enough in his own way, which I really liked. And the final story is At Death's Door, with art by Anthony Pooh, with colors by Julian Dominguez. Just looking at Death himself, I think he kind of let himself go, wouldn't you say?
Well, that was my... When I had to come up with a story for Death, I wanted to do something what people were not expecting. Because even more so than God and the Devil, I think Death has been used so many times in so many stories. And he's always portrayed as either a hooded figure or a mm-hmm. robed figure or a skeleton or some jacked up guy and some scary guy. So I wanted to go in the complete opposite direction here and do something people were not expecting at all. And then base a story around that. So that's kind of the idea where it came from.
Yeah, and I also liked his relationship with these other three horsemen, or so, you know, in this story, his brothers. I liked that as well. I liked that a lot. Yeah, with famine and pestilence and war. I really liked that. It was a nice twist.
They did a nice, I had an idea, and the art team did a nice job putting it together where we have a little montage. It's kind of like a little picture book of the four brothers, the four horsemen as they yes. grow up. Mm. And it's like a family photo album where we get to see them.
Yeah.
Childhood.
But my favorite scene is the last page, and, you know, where Death shows his true might. Didn't expect that, but it was nice. at least he got to keep the couch. That's all.
The final story in the final volume of Modern Testament. There's only going to be four full volumes, and mm-hmm. this is actually the very last story. Is the only one that really has a comedic tone to it. So,
it felt good
writing a story to kind of let loose a little bit and do something a little different than we see in the other 11 stories throughout the entire series.
Absolutely, and with this new book, you know, your final chapter, where will fans be able to pick these issues up?
So it will be available eventually on Comixology, but mm-hmm. for right now, it's the best place to get it is on the Insane Comics is the publisher, mm-hmm. and insanecomics.com. You're able to order all their books through the website, and it's available in digital and print there, along with all the other Modern titles, insanecomics.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'm very familiar with Insane Comics. Kelly Bender's an awesome dude. And, you know, you're in the right place when you want to, create something and have it published. So will there be like a trade paperback in the future anytime soon, you know, in terms of correlating all your stories into one?
Yes, we are planning a trade for the series, which would collect all four volumes into one. And it will also have, so this year and last year, we released digital shorts. They were only available digitally. of Modern Testament, and those will be included for the first time in print in the trade. And there will also be one extra short that's exclusive only to the trade. So you'll be getting the four stories, the four all the stories that were in the four volumes, as well as three extra stories. So the trade will be a 15 stories total.
You hear that, folks? Keep an eye out for the trade. I'm pretty excited myself. So, you know, this is your final book, you know, in your Modern Testament, you know, series. What's next for Frank Martin?
So, as far as comics go, I mean, I'm always writing prose too, and I have a horror novel that's coming out.
Okay.
Probably a zombie novel. But as far as comics go, I have a couple series that are in the works, a pirate story, a supernatural kind of story with werewolves and witches, and I got a bunch of other stuff that are down the pipe. But for right now, I'm kind of focused on wrapping up the Modern Testament trade.
Fantastic. And with these other stories you have in the works, are they going to be with Insane Publishing, Insane Comics?
Possibly. I know right now I think there's an up-and-coming publisher, Universal Comics, that I'll be doing a pirate story with early next year. And then Phoenix Dreams Publishing will be doing the werewolf story. But as far as working with Insane again, it was definitely a lot of fun putting Modern Testament out with them. So as far as the other titles that I've got in development, I'll definitely be considering them putting it out because they were a lot of fun and easy to work with.
Fantastic. Well, Frank, it's been a real honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me on the Undercover Cape special outside the panels.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my man, pleasure. And folks, we'll put the notes as to where you can pick up the previous issues on Modern Testament, and you know, and also where to pick up the volume number 4. So, Frank, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
The greatest superheroes come to the Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Terrific on Connecticut's number one Comic-Con returns. Meet actors from the Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Stranger Things. Plus a special tribute to TV's Adam West, Batman. Artists from Marvel and DC Comics. The Batmobile, the Batboat, even the Batcopter. It's Terrific on Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con. Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Tickets at the Mohegan Sun box office or Ticketmaster.com. See more at Terrificon.com.
Visit UndercoverCapes.com for the latest and greatest podcasts via the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Also visit our parent company website, ComicCrusaders.com, all about comic pop culture.